Amen. Thank you, brother, sister. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in this place and to study your word. And we thank you for the fellowship we have around the word of God. And we thank you for salvation in Jesus Christ. As Mike sang, hallelujah for the cross. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your sacrifice for us that we might have life. So, Lord, we ask that during this time tonight, we might understand your word better and that we might be faithful in understanding what it is you have to say to us so that we might learn to live a life that honors and glorifies God. We thank you for the fellowship that we have together. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who is our teacher. So, Lord, it is good for us to be together. Now we bring our busy day to a pause. We pause now. And we seek to do as the Word of God says, be still and know that you are God. So, Lord, calm our minds. May we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. You know what we're thinking. May we bring it to you now. Here are our thoughts. Some of them are pleasing, some of them are displeasing. Here they are. Here's our thoughts. Here's our worries. We bring them to you. Here's our anxiousness. Here are our troubles. Here are our burdens. We bring them all. And our joys. We thank you that we can come to the throne of grace and find help and mercy in time of need. Thank you. Lord Jesus, we thank you. Great High Priest, Lord, coming King, Judge of the living and the dead. May our lives count for the cause of Christ in the days that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, we're in the book of Acts. Good evening. Good to see you as we pick up now in the new year. Ricky, can you turn on some of these lights right here on the side? It would help me. Can you see what we got? Okay, thanks. I appreciate it. We're going to be again in Acts chapter 10. Hope you picked up a copy of the outline. Tonight we'll be looking especially at Acts chapter 10, verse number 42 will be our focus in the preaching of Peter. This is the final sermon of Peter. We've been going through the preaching of the apostles, apostolic preaching of the book of Acts. It teaches us much about the key doctrines and truths of the Christian life. And these things become very important for us. So I encourage you as we're moving along, we'll be moving now from Peter and these early days to Paul primarily, and the preaching of Paul in the days ahead. Yes, thank you, Ricky. I appreciate that very much. Let there be light. Here we go. Thank you. I want to begin tonight by reading Peter's sermon here. Remind you again of the story of what's happening here. This is Peter's invitation by the Gentile Cornelius, the Roman soldier, to come because the Holy Spirit guided this pagan Cornelius, this God-fearing man who did not know Jesus, to ask for help to understand the truth of God. And so the Holy Spirit of God sovereignly leads him to call for Peter, and Peter comes now and meets Cornelius. Let's go back and read beginning in verse 25 just to remind ourselves of what we'll be looking at tonight. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. But Peter raised him up, saying, stand up, I too am just a man. As he talked with him, he entered and found, that is, Peter was talking with him, and Peter entered and found many people assembled. And he said to them, this is Peter now saying to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for a man who is a Jew to associate with a foreigner or visit him. And yet, God has shown me that I should not call any man unholy or unclean. That is why I came without even raising any objection when I was sent for. So I asked, for what reason you have sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour I was praying in my house during the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in shining garments. And he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Therefore, send to Joppa and invite Simon, who is also called Peter, to come to you. He is staying at the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and you have been kind enough to come. Now then, we are all here present before God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Notice the desire and interest of Cornelius to hear the word of God. We've talked about this before. What a lesson this is and how we prepare to hear the word of God taught or preached. Then we find Peter's sermon. He opens his mouth. Peter, opening his mouth, said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all the things he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. God raised him up on the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand by God, that is, to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. This will be our focus tonight, verse 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him, that is of the Lord Jesus Christ, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. Heavenly Father, now, bless the reading of the Word of God, and may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So let's look first of all at the outline. If you have the outline, you can follow along. There are several points that Peter makes here that are very important. They are, again, lessons for us in how we share the gospel with other people. We too must learn the same lesson, even as Gentiles, for the majority, most of us are Gentiles, about partiality. Perhaps we are guilty of thinking that only God cares about certain kinds of people. Perhaps God can only save certain kinds of people. Well, we discover here, as Peter learned, and he says here to us, God does not show partiality. God shows no favoritism to any race or to any country or group of people. So we must be careful, even as Americans, that we understand that God is not a God of partiality. God spoke the gospel of peace to Israel. This is what Peter says next. Notice in your Bible there, following along with me, he says, the word which he sent, the word, the Lord, the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace, that is, reconciliation, peace with God, reconciliation, peace with God through Jesus Christ. And then he says, he is Lord of all, to remind us of his lordship. Then verse 37, he reminds them of the historic facts that were already known about the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very important. Because as we share the gospel, what we talk about with people about the Lord Jesus, when you're talking with them, you're speaking to them about the Lord Jesus who lived and walked on the earth, who was born into this world. We just celebrated it at Christmas time. Who lived among us, who died physically, rose from the dead physically, ascended to heaven physically. Alive today with a physical glorified body in another place. But the historic facts about the Lord Jesus Christ are known. Look at them again. Verse 37. You yourselves know the thing which took place in all Judea, starting from Galilee after the baptism which John proclaimed. John the Baptist. They knew about John the Baptist. For you know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So we see these historic facts. Then we see the apostles as eyewitnesses. So we read, we are witnesses of all the things he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They also put him to death by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him up the third day and granted that he become visible, not to all the people, but to witnesses who were chosen beforehand, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. So we're reminded that all of our Bible, all of our New Testament is based upon these who are eyewitnesses to the Lord Jesus Christ, who saw him alive, who walked with him. And Peter's reminding them of the fact that what he's sharing with them is based on an eyewitness account. This is the credibility of what he's sharing here. How can you depend on what we saw? That he died on a cross and was raised from the dead? We were there. We saw it. And then he, of course, gives the essence of the gospel, which we must always do when we're sharing with someone, that the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified and raised from the dead. Crucified for sin, raised from the dead. And then he comes to this very important verse, which I want us to spend our time on tonight as we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ is the judge of the living and the dead. Notice the language of verse 42. And he ordered us to preach. He ordered us to preach. This is a very strong word. And what I love about this in this particular case is the man and the people to whom he's talking. Let me read it again. Acts 10:1. There was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. This is a man who understood commands and authority. This is a man who gave commands and authority. The historians tell us that the Italian cohort was one of the most elite of the Roman cohorts in the Roman army. And for those of you who study such trivial things, the Roman army and its conquering power and domination was amazing. 1,200 years, Rome was controlling the world. It's a long time. So this man knows about orders. And Peter says, the Lord Jesus ordered us to preach. He ordered us to preach. He commanded us to preach. And he goes on, and to solemnly, he not only ordered us to preach, but he ordered us to solemnly testify. That this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Well, you're alive tonight. He is your judge. And those who are dead tonight, he is their judge. The Lord Jesus Christ is the judge, the appointed judge of the living and the dead. So we talk about the judgment of God and the judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how you'll respond to this tonight. You may be so sleepy in your own mind and so numbed by things that nothing really moves you. But I can promise you this, and maybe some of you this is true for you. If you had to go to court tomorrow and face the judge, you'd be alert. You'd be prepared. So tonight we begin to consider and think about not only the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. Now, to get you ready for this, this is not in your notes. We'll go through some of the outline things here in just a moment. I want you to look at two other verses with me. So we've read now Acts 10:42, and he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one, nobody else, no other assignment, no other person. This is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Now, if you'll take your Bible, keep your place there in 10, and go to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we find this is a sermon, and we'll talk more about this in detail in the days ahead, where Paul was preaching to all the philosophers in Athens, Greece, the center of learning and wisdom of the ancient world. The university town of Athens. In Acts chapter 17, verse 31, Paul is concluding his comments and he says this, verse 30, "Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent." Now, the focus of my comment here is verse 31, "because everyone should repent." Why? "Because God has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through the man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead." This is Paul preaching, not Peter. But they're saying the same thing. Now I want you to go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, Paul is before Felix, the governor. He's before a government official, Felix. And so Felix had some understanding and knowledge about the way and about Christians. And let's just go back to verse 23 of 24. "Then he gave orders to the centurion for him to be kept in custody and yet have some freedom, and not to prevent any of his friends from ministering to him. But some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jew, and sent for Paul and heard him speak about," notice, "faith in Jesus Christ." What did Paul preach to the government official? "You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved." By the way, with his chains dangling, with his chains rattling. Think about it. This Jewish rabbi with chains on, standing before the great government authority and official. "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved." Oh, but he goes on. "But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, 'Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you.'" Felix wasn't numb as some are today when we talk about this. Felix didn't yawn as if he had heard these words before, as if it was an old story that had been heard over and over. He heard about the judgment to come, and he was frightened. What happens to you when you hear that judgment is coming? How do you respond to it? You think you're going to miss it? You think maybe you're going to get out of it? You think maybe this is just going to be for the really bad people? Well, I'm saved, Pastor Mike. Yes, you are. If you're born again, you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a judgment for believers, as well as a judgment, sadly, for unbelievers. Everybody here will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge. Will you stand as a born-again believer, or will you stand as a lost man or woman? Well, I'm not doing my task if I do not do the same. You may not have any dread for hearing this, but you should. You see, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowing God. The fear of God and understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us, He's not our buddy. He's our Lord, and He's our King, and He's our judge. How would you act if you stood before the judge? You'd want to be on your best behavior. You'd want to make the best case and have a good lawyer, wouldn't you? So Jesus Christ is appointed by God as judge. Back to the outline. God is judge of all. Because of the justice of God, we have, and we spent enormous amounts of time. I'm looking around in here. Not all of you were with us, but many of you, we've been on that long journey. Oh, it was a long journey. Oh, it was a tiring journey through the minor prophets. Oh, some of you wondered, would we ever finish studying those minor prophets? But we saw over and over and over. What was it? One fellow said to him, it's like a one-string banjo. Judgment is coming. Well, that's one of the strings of the banjo. The prophets stand and proclaim these prophets. These prophets! Don't they have anything good to say? These prophets calling for repentance, warning Israel of judgment, warning the nations that conquered Israel of judgment. And now we read in the New Testament, Pastor Mike, we're in the time of grace. We can be saved, and yes, we will all stand before the judge. We won't stand as a group, we'll stand individually. This is how powerful this is. That God Himself would have we would have an appointed time to stand before Him. God will deal with me, He won't deal with you. God will judge me, He won't judge you. He'll judge you individually, as well as me individually. You must leave this place knowing however many days you have, what Peter says to us here, he has appointed the Lord Jesus as the judge of the living and the dead. You drive by the graveyard, go to a graveyard anywhere in the world, the dead, all of them, whatever culture, whatever country, whatever background, the dead will be judged by the living Lord Jesus Christ. God is judge of all, as we read in Hebrews 12:23. But God will perform the work of judgment through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus revealed that God the Father has given Him authority. In fact, if you would like to look there, if you don't want to turn there, I'll read it to you in John chapter 5, verse number 22. For not even the Father judges anyone, but He has given all judgment to the Son. So that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son will not honor the Father who sent Him. So the Lord says. Verse 27, and he gave him authority to execute judgment. Why? Because he is the Son of God, the Son of Man. So the Lord Jesus has been given the authority to be judge. And he will judge the living and the dead. Paul says it again, writing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, the judge of the living and the dead. You see, the apostles weren't afraid to talk about the Lord Jesus as Lord, but also as judge. We think that's negative. I promise you, the Lord taught this over and over in his parables. You remember the man gives his servants portions of money and tells them, go invest the money. All you business people in here. Invest, you want to see, what am I going to get for my investment? Well, the one fellow, remember, he dug a hole. One fellow, he doubled his, another doubled his. But what does it say? One day, the master came back and asked for what? An accounting. Do you really believe tonight, my friend, that you can live your entire life without any account to God for what you've done? You see, the unbeliever lives without any awareness of this. And oh, by the way, it's interesting to me that each of these statements I've read to you from the book of Acts about the Lord being the judge were to Gentiles. First to Cornelius and all these Gentiles in his house. Second to all those philosophers who were looking for some new teaching in Athens, Greece. And then to old Felix, the governor who thought he had all the power. What does America need a big dose of? That there's a judge whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ, and everyone is accountable to him. What does China need? Same thing. What do the Muslims need? Same thing. You can go wherever you want to go. What do the Africans need? Same thing. So tonight I want you to consider the Lord Jesus. He will judge the living and the dead. He will judge believers for their works. We're going to look at that a little bit more in detail in just a moment. He will judge the beast and the false prophet. And he will judge the nations at his second coming. And he will judge Satan and the demons. So I've given you the list of the judgments to come. There's some debate. Are there six or seven? I'll just give you the six primary. The judgment of believers, the judgment of Israel, the judgment of the beast, false prophet, and their armies, the judgment of the nations at the second coming. Some of these things we've talked about as we studied the minor prophets. We didn't even study the book of Revelation. We were covering this with the book of Daniel. Oh, how long, O Lord, did we study the book of Daniel? The judgment of Satan and his angels. You think the devil's going to get away with it? He ain't going to get away with anything. You think you're going to get away with it? And then the judgment of the unsaved dead in heaven. So tonight I want to focus on the rest of my time trying to stir you. I'm trying to awaken you a little bit to consider the importance of these things so that you might be sobered up by them, because you have an accounting before God. It's not been dismissed because you've been saved by grace. You still have an accounting before God for the way you choose to live and for what you say and for what you do and how you spend your days. So few days. So short a life. So we begin by thinking about the believer's judgment. And if you're not familiar with this verse, you can mark it in your Bible. I'll just read it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we go to see this. In verse number verse number 10, 2 Corinthians 5:10, not 5:17. That was incorrect in the printout. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must, and Paul's writing to believers here. He's writing to the Corinthian Christians, and I'm speaking to the believers at First Baptist Church. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Many of you know this. This is the Greek word is bema seat. It is the raised platform. It's the raised platform. It's the bema. It's the platform on which Pilate stood over the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. Pilate on a raised platform looking down upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you see, the bema seat was understood by all of these because Rome was in charge. You go before the bema seat, you answer to the ones on the bema seat, the seat of judgment. We must all appear before the bema seat of Christ so that each one, I'm not able to answer for you, and you can't answer for me. Each one may be recompensed or repaid, rewarded for the deeds done in the body according to what he has done, good or bad. Christ will judge believers for their secrets. You have any secrets? Or sometimes someone will say, I'm shocked that that happened to that Christian brother or sister. Why, it was what they were doing in secret that trapped them. It's what they were doing in secret that shipwrecked them. You know what the Lord says to do in secret? Pray. Meet with Him. Open the Word of God. Speak to Him in secret. What do you do in secret, my dear brothers and sisters? 1 Corinthians 4:5, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. I want you to look carefully at that if you've turned to 1 Corinthians 4:5. Please notice, it's good to see this because if we had the time, can you imagine this? The Corinthian church, they were so difficult on Paul the apostle. They mistreated him. They disrespected him. A lot like a lot of pastors get treated by churches. They mistreated him. They talked about him. They gossiped about him. They belittled him. They made false accusations about him. He says in verse number 4, for I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Paul lived his life knowing that there was someone examining him. Did you know that's true for you too? Not just preachers. The Lord's been watching you today. I said, the Lord's been watching you today. What has He seen in you? What has He heard from you? What motives? Let's read on here. The day will come when He will bring to light the things hidden in the darkness. What have you done secretly that no one else knows about? What motives do you have in your heart and mind? Are they genuine motives, godly motives, or are they self-serving motives that each man will receive his praise? Well, I don't want to belabor this or I won't get finished, but there's much to be said about how God, the Lord Jesus, will, at the bema seat, our secrets will be exposed. It's better to have good secrets than bad ones. Confess those bad ones so that they're removed. Christ will judge believers for their words. What did the Lord say? Matthew chapter 12, you Many of you know this. I know this crowd on Wednesday nights that walk with me during our time of study. Let me read it to you anyway, Matthew 12:36. I tell you, remember now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. I tell you, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. You know, it's better just not to say anything if it's going to be careless. Would you agree? What is it that the Proverbs teach us? Even the fool is considered wise if he says nothing. Oh, by the way, the Lord says, by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. What do you say about other people? How do you speak about others? Christ will judge pastors for their work. I'm very aware tonight of my responsibility before the Lord that I will stand one day and give accounting for how I have sought to do my task and my calling here with you and the other places I've served all the days of my life. I have much to be accountable for. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. That's my prayer, to see you all grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, to grow, to walk with God, to follow Jesus, to love other people, to tell the world about Jesus. And I'll do my best to do it by preaching the Word of God, and that's all I'm interested in doing. So may the Lord help me to do what I'm supposed to do. The Lord will judge the works and reward Christians for what they do. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it. It will be revealed with fire, that is, in light, and the fire will burn it. Light and fire. It will reveal each man's work. If the work is built on what remains, he'll have a reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss, but he'll still be saved. What did the Lord say? Store up for yourself riches in heaven. It means live for the Lord Jesus. Store it up by what you do. I like what James 5:9, I didn't put it here, but I believe that the Lord Jesus will also judge our relationships with one another. James chapter 5, verse number 9 says, don't complain against each other so that you may not be judged. Boy, we got to put that over the doors of this Baptist church. That's got to go over every door. Where's the trustees when you need them? We got to put that in gold letters. When you enter and when you leave, don't complain about each other. Why, you may have been griping about the person sitting next to you before you came in here. Don't point to them or look at them. Don't complain against each other so that you may not be judged. Listen to this. Listen, it gets better. It gets better. James 5:9, behold, the judge is standing at the door. That means, as you people in the South say, he's fixing to come through the door. Everybody got it? The judge is at the door. The judge is at the door. If he's at the door, what must I do? You see, the nature of the... Boy, you see, I could go... I'm just trying to get through this outline. The judgment of the believer is not for condemnation or for judgment for hell. It's for sin. For our sin. It's a judgment to see, and for our good works. It's not about our sinfulness. It's not about our... It's not for sin. We have been saved by grace from our sin. We've been washed in the blood of Christ. It is about our works. It's not about being judged for sinfulness, but it is a disciplining of the believer. By the way, did you know the Lord disciplines us in this world so that we won't be condemned with the world? You need to read 1 Corinthians 11:32. That's what it says. Lord, why are you putting me through this? So that you won't be condemned with the world. The unbeliever's judgment. The unsaved from all past history will stand before the white throne judgment. Now I have about 6 or 7 minutes and I'll try to get through this. I want to make the application tonight. Then I saw a great white throne, him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away and no place was found for them. The Lord Jesus is the judge. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. The sea gave up the dead. Death and hell gave up the dead. And they were judged according to their deeds. Then death and hell were, please notice the language, thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. You die twice, and you keep dying at the second death. And you never stop dying. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You see, the Lord Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. If you've sat through the preaching of the Word of God over and over, year after year, day after day, all of your life, but it has never changed your life or moved you, you're accountable for every time you hear the Word of God preached, taught, or you read it. These words will judge you. So the unbelieving lost will be judged and thrown in the lake of fire because they are not saved. We read in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, rejoice, your names are written in heaven, the Lamb's book of life. You remember, this is when the disciples came back from their celebration tour. They'd had a great mission trip, and they came back from their mission trip, and the Lord said, don't rejoice because demons do what you say. Rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. I say to you tonight, if you're saved, rejoice, your name's in the book of life. Don't you want your name in the book of life? Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Paul said, talking about his brothers in ministry, Philippians 4:3, whose names are in the book of life. Oh, we read these words. These words are so sobering and awesome. Daniel 7:9, I kept looking until thrones were set up and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His vesture was like white snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, in wheels a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. But here's the best line of all, Daniel 7:10. The court sat and the books were opened. When the judge enters the room in Charlotte and sits down, the books are open. And the dead lost from all the ages will stand and the books will be opened. They will be judged by their deeds and found wanting and thrown to the second death. So as I finish, I want to talk to you about setting up a judgment seat in your own heart and mind. You may have tossed it on Sunday out of your bulletin. You know, all those, one fellow said to us at church, well, you know, we print all this extra paper, all these extra things in my bulletin. We put them in there for a reason, my dear friends. We're not just trying to waste paper. Perhaps you pulled out of your bulletin, if you picked one up, or whatever it's called, our worship guide or whatever you want to call it, the questions that I left for you to consider for the new year. I'm not asking you to do what I don't do. But you know, I find that if I would set up my own judgment seat for myself, I'm going to be better useful for serving the Lord. It's called self-examination. I'm amazed at how people are not self-aware in our world. They don't live with self-awareness. Everything's about them, so the way there's a lack of self-awareness in the world today. If I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be a believer in Christ and honor the Lord and glorify God in my body, listen, here's the thing, and this is something that every believer has to get over. You have to get over judging everybody else and judging yourself more. You know, the problem isn't going to be everybody else. It's you. It's me. I must look at myself. The more I grow in Christ, the more I worry about what's my condition with the Lord, not everybody else. But oh, I hear a lot of people coming to tell me, tattling like children, telling me about so-and-so and what they're doing. My question always back, maybe this is why they don't come anymore, is, so what does that have to do with you? What business is that of you? Did somebody put you in charge of them? I believe the Lord's given you yourself to be responsible for before God. So I encourage you tonight to practice something. Some of you Baptists, we haven't talked about this much in Baptist life. I've been born again since I was 9. I've been in a Baptist church since I was in the crib, you know, having Big Red Kool-Aid and those nasty cookies for vacation Bible school all my life. But we didn't talk a lot about self-judgment. I'm not going to leave that out while I'm here. So I leave you with this tonight as we leave. Set up a judgment seat in your own heart and mind. Bring your own soul to trial. Bring your own soul to trial. Lamentations 3:40. Let us search and test our ways. Let us search and test our ways. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. Are you saved? What evidence is there that you're saved? Do I live in a way that is offensive or pleasing to God? Do I live in a way that dishonors God? Am I living today? Am I doing something and calling myself a follower of Jesus that is dishonoring to God? You can only answer that question. I can only answer that question for me. But I must bring myself to this trial. I must test myself, examine myself. We come to the Lord's table every month, and it is your duty and responsibility to come to the Lord's table as a believer, but also to come prepared. I'm amazed at how many people think that the Lord's Supper is just something that you don't want to go to. The Lord Jesus gave it as a command. Do this to remember me. The church shows up together at the Lord's table, and we come examining ourselves. Everyone here has a responsibility to come to the table of the Lord. That's for another night. Use your self-reflection when you read the Bible. When you read God's Word, ask yourself, Lord, what do you have for me here? You don't read it and say, boy, I'll tell you, my brother really needs to read this. I'm telling you, this will straighten him out. No, I read it and say, Lord, I need to be changed. At death, I wonder, if you linger in death with your mind and you're able to think about it, will you have peace that you have sought to live and honor God with your life? Or will you live in regret? Based on your standard of judging others, judge yourself. The Lord Jesus said, with the measure with which you judge others, you will be judged. But I'm turning it another way. Why don't you use that measurement that you know, some of us can be pretty harsh judges in here. We got high standards. Boy, we expect a lot. Do you expect that out of yourself or out of everybody else? The coming judgment on believers teaches believers. I want you to hear my comment as I finish. The coming judgment on unbelievers teaches believers and unbelievers that God's patience for their sinfulness is no forgiveness of their sin. May I say it again? God's patience with us in our sin is not forgiveness of our sin. You must confess your sin. 1 John 1:9. I must confess my sin to be restored in my relationship that I now have in Christ. And oh, may the lost world understand. The Lord is not willing that any should perish. Patience. But that all should come to eternal life. I got to tell you something. This is really important. The judge is standing at the door. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you for the truth of your Word. And we ask that tonight you would help us as we go home to think about and reflect upon our relationship with you. As Peter described it these many thousands of years ago to these Gentile people for the first time, we hear it again tonight. Some of us have read this many times in our lives. You have been appointed, Lord Jesus, to be the judge of the living and the dead. May we be prepared to answer to you as we stand before you, and may we do everything we can to lead people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ so that they might miss the white throne judgment of God. Burden us with this as a church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Good to see you all. Have a great rest of the week. See you Sunday, Lord willing. Say hello to somebody on your way out if you're not aware of who they are. Introduce yourself.